accepted by God. God does not receive every offering that man may bring. He is God and King, and He's over the universe. I don't own anything. I've got a deed to a house that's paid for. I got a deed to two vehicles that's paid for. But they don't belong to me. They belong to God. And He opened up doors so that I could buy them and use them. This brother is no longer with us. He's left us for, you know, when you got children and your children mess up, you got to make a stand. Are you going to stand with the church? Are you going to stand with the child? And, this brother used to go get people, bring them, take them home. Never did have a new car, as far as I know, but God always let his car be running, and he would take people home and go pick up kids. Who do you think kept those old cars running? See, I believe in a miracle-working God. I believe he can take an old car, and when the mechanic says, shouldn't put any more money in it, but it only needs a fuel pump, and I may have somebody pick up next Sunday. Are you following me? So it goes along with my message, accepted and acceptable. Acceptable and accepted. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? They were the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 1:11. When he said, bring no more vain oblations. I'm weary to hear them. You know, Isaiah is a wonderful Old Testament book. You learn so much from it. I encourage you not to overlook the Old Testament, but read it and you'll see how God can open up doors for you and give you understanding you never thought you could have. But in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 11, I'll read it to you. But, you know, God showed us several things here in this one verse. So as we look at Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams and fats of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of the bullocks or of lambs or of goats. When he come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense, is abomination unto me, the new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. It goes on in this first chapter, you know, but he's saying here, bring no more vain oblations. I'm weird. I believe that God sometimes gets weary of our half-hearted gifts and sacrifices. But yet when we have the least little pain, we want to call upon him and say, Lord, I've been your servant. When and how? when we look at the scriptures and we still look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, you know, as we read and we go on and read a little bit more in this blessed chapter and book as we read. But, you know, in verse, we want to go back and pick up with verse 13 for just a second. We won't stay there. And he said, bring no more vain oblation, incense. It's an abomination. Quit bringing these offerings that you're trying to buy an entrance for my love or my attention. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. But most people believe that every time you pray, God hears. Notice, he does not. We got to be in condition to pray. We got to be in God's will to pray. When I was concerned, I was a little bit concerned about myself because I want to live as long as I can. But the day that I can no longer fill a pulpit, I'm ready to go home. That's what God called me here to do. And there's people that, you know, that are praying for me. Don't reach this ceiling. Right. He said, preacher, you're judging. God doesn't hear the prayers of an alcoholic. God doesn't hear the prayers of a liar, a thief, right, an immoral person. That's why we choose to have prayer warriors. People that we believe to the best of their ability serve God to the best of their human ability. Are they perfect? No. But their prayers are acceptable to the Lord. It is written in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, as we go to the book of Hebrews and the 12th chapter. And we see here what God, the one who is our Lord and Savior, but he says here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Now, what does that word mean? It means that a lot of our worship, God doesn't accept it. You can't pray for somebody and then talk about that person. One thing I've learned being a pastor for 50-some years, if people would pray about situations as much as they want to talk about situations, we would have a revival in our own hearts. And when it's in my heart, it'll spread to someone else. God said, you know, the reason we don't do that is because, you know, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Can you imagine for a moment, let's travel into glory at the judgment seat. The judgment seat is for the saved people. Great white throne judgment is for the lost people.
at that judgment seat, your real you is going to show forth. The real you. Because God said, and he makes it very, very clear that, you know, that we must stand before God and give an account unto God. But we're more apt to try to please somebody than we are God. We'll wire stuff that because everybody else wiring it. We'll do this because everybody else is doing it. What about God's standard? We ought to be more interested. Is God, does God accept my life? Does he accept my worship? See, as he said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Now if you look at that word, it means that there's a lot of worship going on, but it's not acceptable. God doesn't accept it. But he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you there? Notice what he said. That every man may receive the things done in his body, whether it good or bad. God doesn't accept just anything we do because we feel good about it. Amen. Like a guy asked me this week, he said, friend of mine's house, wind blew it down. And we're taking up an offering. I even recommended to the pastor that we tell our people to give their tithes and offerings to that offering. You can't give away what don't belong to you. Do you hear me? I belong to the Lord. He bought me. He paid for me. I have no right to do anything just because I want to do it. That'll preach. But you've got to be prepared to receive it. Romans 14:12 said, so then every one of us shall give an account of who? Himself. See, I've learned after almost 55 years of preaching that if I will take care of myself, I don't have much time left to judge what you're doing. Because I believe saved people won't have gotten to church unless they're sick of providential hindrance. I believe saved people want to pray. Saved people know that they are in good health not because of what they ate, but because of the Almighty God. Amen. It doesn't take our responsibility away. God tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. God says here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Time of need. You know, we may, you know, we get sick. We want to find the best doctor to go to. That's good. We want to follow the instructions. That's good. But that medicine won't help any more than salt water unless the great physician touches it. And for him to answer your prayers, he must hear them. As soon as I say that, everybody, you say, well, God hears everybody. Oh, he hears, but it's different between, you know, have you ever talked to your child and they heard you, but they didn't hear you? No, God doesn't hear every prayer that we pray when we know we're being disobedient outside of this church. So he said, you know, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. We need the grace of God, and none of us can muster it up. For by grace are ye saved. That means you can't be saved apart from grace. You can join a church and be baptized. You can quit doing this. You can quit doing that. But you ain't going to be saved unless God saves you. And I believe, because the Bible backs me up, so therefore I know I'm right, everybody is saved, they begin to change.
Amen.
Why? That's the evidence. That's the evidence. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, 14 through 30, we won't read all that, but I want to summarize. I've made me some notes here on it. Man left his business in the hands of a servant when he went on a journey, giving five talents of one and two talents to another and one talent. Came back. And the one with the, five talents and the two talents each doubled their money and were equally rewarded, for they were equally diligent and faithful. But in this portion of Scripture, along around, made verse 24, it began to tell us that one of them didn't have any faith, so he took his talent, and tucked it away. Don't want to abuse it. Who was God pleased with? Who was God pleased with? Well, if we read the Scripture, nothing but the Scriptures, we know that the one that had the least, they thought he was doing God a favor, but God didn't look upon that quite the way he did. So here in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and we started with verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods, and one he gave five talents, another two, and to one, to every man according to his several ability, straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. You getting the truth there? If we have talent, God wants us to use the talent. Amen. And in using is like practicing.
Right.
You know, the more you practice the piano, is better, right, ladies?
Amen.
You know. Practice makes perfect. And likewise, he that received the two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckon with them. You know, it's time to give an account. That's what the judgment seat is. We're going to give an account. We're going to lay out and say, Lord, this is what I've done with how you've blessed me. You gave me the ability to teach Sunday school, but I ain't going to teach Sunday school. You gave me the ability to lead singing, but I'm not going to lead singing. When the preacher's away, you give me the ability I should fill the pulpit. So, you know, it's all on Wednesday night or something, Lord. But he didn't. See, God doesn't expect us to do something that he hasn't given us the ability to do. And then after a while, we find out, man, I remember when I used to do that. So he that had received the five talents came and brought other five, saying, the Lord, thy, you know, divideth unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five more. Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. That's why that if a preacher like myself, even though, you know, I could preach tonight on Facebook, I could pick out a sermon. I got boxes full of them. You didn't mean anybody to know this is what I'm going to preach tonight. I have to do the same thing next Sunday. Next Sunday night. It isn't that y'all don't deserve better. God deserves better.
Amen.
I'm not saying that. I've got one sermon that I've preached about six times. I preached it here two times. I preached it in Georgia once. I preached it in Mississippi. You know. But it wasn't the same sermon.
Right.
You know. But what I'm saying, we learn by taking what he's given us and improve on it. That's the starting point. If God blesses you with a scripture, that's a starting point. You come with a thought. Lord, Alan Vincent, I could use that. But we just don't, you know. What Baptist has became now is you talk to a man, as I have in, you know, I live over to Nicholas County, so I'm taking the day a week. It's just knocking on doors, going from house to house. Those people over there, they all belong to church, and they don't go nowhere. But I was baptized, Brother Vance. You know how it is? It's just busy. You ever had somebody in your family sick? And you call upon the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm sorry, I'm busy today. We go to Luke 19:11-27, and that's the parable of the 10 pounds, 10 servants, where he's given a pound and told to occupy. When he returned and called to the accounts, his servants, one had increased, but not all. we need to want to use what God has given us. And we should never be satisfied with what we know. Amen. But see, I go to a meeting, I hear somebody preach on a sermon, you know, and I'll write that sermon down, that scripture down, and the thought he brought out. And then you go back home, or on the way home, you just can't get that scripture out of your mind. You can't get that talent, what he called the sermon, out of your mind. And then God just opens up, and you got a whole new sermon, a whole new outline. Because God will increase you more if you use what you've got. That's what the school system's all about. You go from kindergarten to first grade, second grade, third grade. Yep. Learning is gradually. But it's amazing that when we become an adult in Christianity, we just voluntarily quit. Oh, we still show up. I remember, I know Brenda does, she's on one here that was with me down on 2nd Street. Everybody came 15, 20 minutes early. And sung and prayed. Got to know one another. I'm not talking about getting in somebody's personal business. You know, my personal business is exactly that, personal. But you learn a lot when you talk to other people that are saved. You get a different view. When we do well and suffer for it, bearing it patiently, this is acceptable with God, as well as we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 Peter, notice what John said now. 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 23, I believe. He says, "Who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." You know, if you serve the Lord, you're going to have your feelings hurt sooner or later. I don't set out to hurt anybody's feelings. But I've had people, you know, I didn't even talk to me for a week or so, and I was, they must have got a hold of some bad brown beans or something, you know. I mean, it's silliness. This kind of stuff affects the church. It affects the spirituality of the church. We need to understand that God says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that his," you know, "he was righteous, God testifying of his gift." But those two brothers didn't have the same amount of faith. Romans 10:7 talks about that faith comes by hearing God's word. And to hear God's word, we got to come prepared. Got to be prepared.
So as we wrap it up, we see in Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16, Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God," when? "Continually." Continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good, to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased.
In Matthew 5, 6, the Lord said to his disciples, "So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are to be ready to do every good work that we have an opportunity to do.
All you've got to do, people, is just to go to any nursing home and walk the floors and just look at those people. They're in there. Nobody hardly ever comes and sees them. Do you think it bothers God? And it's not the pleasantest place to visit sometimes. You know, you walk down the hall and this one has had a BM and this one's had a BM and the nurse is out in the hall, you know, cursing and going on. And you look at yourself and you said, "Man, you've been good to me, God.
Amen.
You've been good to me." Well, as we close, we see in Hebrews 13, 15, 16, Matthew 5, 16. Matthew 5, 16 said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are to be ready to work according to Titus 3, 1. Nothing better than to finish off in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, he starts out, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he presents your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Only happened twice. It happened when my office was where the library is now. One woman came in. She knocked on the door. She said, "What do you think about my new dress?" I said, "You probably should have let your husband. It's none of my business and it's none of my concern. And I don't care what you wear, lady, as long as it covers your body." What do you think it was all about? The devil was testing me.
Right.
And the next weekend, another one came in the same way. Both of them married. "What do you think about my new dress?" I think I told this one, "Well, I wouldn't wear it, but if you're happy with it, I'm happy." I don't care what you wear as long as it covers your body. You want to know what somebody thinks about it, you ask your husband. But I've been lucky. I've been in the ministry 55 years, and that's the only two times in the whole 55 years that two ladies made a fool of herself. Because that's exactly what they did.
Right.
Why do you share that? In these last days, the devil will use anything. Anything. And we better know that. We had better realize that. And we, as Christians, better not give the world reason to talk about us. They will talk about you. You can't help that. But you can help giving them reason to. Song leader, pianist, come.